Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
When my wife and I and my son delivered our Turkey Fest box, you know, you fill it with food and it's kind of heavy. And we took it to the apartment complex where we were giving it to this family. And the woman met us downstairs. And fortunately, she had a cart and we put it in the cart. And then I asked her if we could pray. And, you know, I'm a pastor, so I pray. Matter of fact, any event that I go to, if there's ever a prayer and they know I'm there, they're like, Pastor, will you come and pray? And I'll have to admit to you, we held hands, she was willing to pray, and I said a prayer, and it's a pretty good prayer. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, it was really good. And I mean, this is what I do, I pray, and it was a good prayer. I mean, we let go of hands, and as soon as I started to let go of hands, she grabbed onto our hands. And then I thought I had prayed a good prayer, but then she trumped my prayer and prayed an even better prayer. She prayed for all of you. She prayed for us. And then she prayed for my son. Dude, don't you love it when people bless your kids? This woman was a stranger to us when we got there, but when we left, we were family. We were family. And what excites me is that how many of us were able to do that over Thanksgiving, take these boxes full of food and introduce ourselves to strangers who really are part of our family. And we captured part of this on a video, and I want you to check this out. Check this out. Meals delivered to people who need it. Isn't that great? Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. There's also an opportunity here this week as we start at the Healing Center. There's Christmas parties that we're doing. And so for all of our guests, during this time of year, we like to throw Christmas parties. I talked to Monica and the team and said, do you want me to mention this from the front? They said, oh yeah, that'd be great. Especially this Wednesday, they have need. I hope to overwhelm them with volunteers. You go on Vineyard Cincinnati on your phone, vineyardcincinnati.com, and you just scroll down till you come to the picture that says Christmas volunteers, and then you sign up for that. I know that some of you are entering into this season of winter where you start to kind of get kind of down, or you have this kind of, winter kind of sadness. Here's one of the ways that you can cure it. Find someone who has a greater need than you have and meet that need. And every time I've done that, I have not been able to stay in that slump while I'm meeting the needs of other people. Amen? So I encourage you to do that. That's the kind of church that we are. This is the kind of season that we're in. We're in the kind of season where every time you turn on the TV, there's Christmas movies. And it's wonderful, except for Hallmark. It's wonderful, except for Lifetime. And so we said, what if we did a Christmas classic series where we're just going to talk each weekend, we're just going to talk about a different movie, and I'm going to show you the gospel that's in that movie. Which, by the way, every story that touches your heart, every story that captures your heart, the gospel is in there somewhere. God is clearly seen through this visible attributes. And the fact of the matter is, every good story has the gospel somewhere in it. So today we're going to talk about a movie that, and I'll pull out the kind of theological underpinnings of this movie, which may surprise you. But my family likes Hallmark movies in this season. Don't amen that. There's certain things you can amen, and there's certain things you cannot amen. I mean, some of you get excited. You know, it takes an average of 3 to 5 years to create a Hollywood movie, to shoot it. Except Hallmark, it takes an average of 15 days. That's 14 more days than I thought it took. Takes even less to write the thing. Have you heard it? Now, all you cheer. There's 37 new Hallmark Christmas movies coming out this year. 85 million people will watch them. See, how many of you men wanted to boo? You can boo right now. Okay, but yeah, it's too late because you were scared to boo before because your wife was going, yay, and you're like, dear God. There's going to be 85 million people watch these movies, and about a third of them are on their phone with earbuds in watching the NFL. It's happening in an armchair near you. But movies are great. Christmas movies are great. And so we're going to talk today about the Polar Express. Polar Express. Great film. Oh, this is a really cool film. And basically, you have this boy who wakes up and hears a train, goes outside, and the conductor is Tom Hanks. Has he ever done anything bad? You know, it's like, Tom Hanks, he's great, you know, and tell me about it later, thank you. Somebody has an adamant hatred for Tom Hanks over here, okay. So there's this mystery about this train. Is the train really exist? Do I get on? Do I not get on? You know, and this little boy gets on the train, and he has to have a ticket, and there's mystery involved around that. And then they're on this adventure on this train, and there's a time where they go, and it seems like they're on a roller coaster ride, and then there's a time where they go out on this ice, and they're sliding around. Eventually, they finally make it to what appears to be, you know, the North Pole and Santa. And the whole premise of the film is that this little boy, does he believe or does he not believe? And he can't hear the sleigh bell. And every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings. Wrong movie. Okay, but it always usually has to do something with bells and believing. And so he goes to the North Pole, he comes back, and of course the whole idea is that when he gets back the next day, he rings the bell and he hears the bell, he believes. The theology of Christmas movies, by and large, are totally jacked up. I mean, it's totally jacked up. Here's why. Most Christmas movies go like, if you believe, then Santa exists. Let me tell you some good news about God. Whether or not you believe in him, he is. He was, he always will be. Like, he's not, the power of God's almighty sleigh is not controlled by your belief. That puts all the focus and attention on you. Any theology that leads from you, comes from you, or leads back to you is bad theology. It comes from God. It's about God. It returns to God. Amen? So I'm just saying, I'm sorry to kill all your Christmas dreams there. That's really not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is a subplot that happens during this film. There is a subplot that happens during Polar Express that's really cool and reveals the gospel and the heart of God. As the boy, the main character, decides to get on the train, and he has a ticket and all, he sees a stranger. A boy who, it looks like, doesn't have family and doesn't have friends and doesn't have access to the train, and he's running. If you've seen the movie, he's running behind, and the main character's encouraging him to get on. As soon as this stranger, I refer to him as the stranger, as soon as he gets on the train, then he goes to the very back car all by himself. One of our favorite scenes is the hot chocolate scene. Hot, 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 hot chocolate. And they dance and they jump off the walls, and hot chocolate is going all over the place, but always lands in the cup, you know. It's fantastic. And the cups are wonderful and they're huge, and there's this hot chocolate. And one of the little girls on the train hides back some hot chocolate under her chair. And then she, at great risk to herself, delivers that hot chocolate to the little boy in the back, who doesn't appear to have anyone. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching this, we watched it over Thanksgiving break, I'm nudging my son, and I'm sure at 12 years old, he's appreciating the theological commentary I'm giving to him as the movie goes along. They take this boy the hot chocolate, and then they make sure that this stranger has every advantage that they have. They make sure that he goes to all the places where they go and that he believes like they believe, and they include him, though he's a stranger and he's outside and they don't know him and he doesn't seem to have anybody. They include him in their group. The whole time they're including him. And at the end of the movie, the train is going back and delivering children back to their home. Wouldn't you know, this little boy gets off and he's smiling and he's been befriended and he's been cared for. And he runs inside to see if it's true. And he comes back out. If you remember, this to me is the highlight of the film, because he comes out on his front porch as the train is driving away. And he runs and he has the gift over his head. And he's saying, I got it. It's who made all of that possible? The people who made all of that possible are those kids who went out of their way to include someone that they did not know outside of their group, a stranger, different than them. And this is a key characteristic of our Father in heaven. This is a key characteristic to Jesus Christ himself. The very spirit that lives on the inside of us is the spirit that welcomes the stranger. And I love the fact that the feeling of Christmas really is to, in many ways, welcome the stranger. This is what the season's all about. This is why we love the parties at the Healing Center. This is why we love giving gifts. The spirit of it is that we would welcome a stranger. My wife picked up a bad habit in Texas. You interested? Okay. While we were in Texas, we lived there for about 9 years, and while we were there, I come to find out that every woman does her nails in Texas. They all get their nails done. I'm pretty sure it's 100% of the women. It's kind of like Bible reading around here. 100% of us do that, but in Texas, 100% of the women get their nails done. They also have big hair in Texas. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but there's actually a shirt that I saw with this big bouffant hair, and it said, "Tease it to Jesus." That's what, seen that? I love that, man. Their hair is big and their nails are long. And we got here to Cincinnati, and immediately my wife found a nail place. Now, it just so happens, this isn't 100% true, but a lot of times when people come to the United States from other countries, of course, from India, I have Indian friends who, when they come to the States, they'll find other Indian friends. There's churches of primarily Indian folks, for example. You know this happens, because when you come into a place that is foreign to you, you're looking for some friendly faces, some people who speak your native tongue, am I right? And so a lot of times the Vietnamese and Cambodians will come to this place, and they're working at this nail place. My wife would come back home from getting her nails done, and she'd have stories of Cambodia and stories of Vietnam. And it's always been our heart. And I wondered where this came from. I should have known that this came from the Spirit of God. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling that we have as people. It's not human compassion, but the very Spirit of God within us. When we encounter people who are not from around here, the Spirit of God in us wants them to feel loved and cared for and hospitable, and we want to help them, and we hear their accent and we know, hey, you're not from around here, and we think, what would it be like to not be from around here? How many of you are not from Cincinnati originally? Okay, wow, that's a lot. How many of you, you know, there's a culture here, I don't know, Cincinnati, it's a unique place. You know what they do with chili around here, right? And then some of you groan. You're like, oh, well, one good thing is they put 3 pounds of cheese on it. That's what they do. That's shredded cheese. That's serious fluffy. I've never seen anything like it. I just look at it, and then I'm like, I'm not going to eat all that. How did I eat all that? Please? I just like saying it because it's kind of strange, you know? I mean, strange. There is no such thing as a stranger. A stranger is someone who is strange because they're different than you. And to everyone else, you know what you are? You're strange. Some of you came from the West Coast. Any West Coast people come from the West Coast? And so, yeah, you're not there anymore. Hi, it's 24. You're like, I like experiencing the seasons, not all in one day. That's Cincinnati. There's something, I'm telling you, there's something from the Spirit of God that loves the stranger. When I was in seventh grade, my best friend was Hitoshi Hayashi. You know he wasn't from Kentucky, right? Hitoshi Hayashi was from Japan, and his family was in our hometown for 1 year as his father finished his doctorate. They were so kind. And I didn't know any Japanese, but he tried to teach me a few words, and I would say them, and he would laugh because I butchered it. And then he would speak English, and we would laugh because he butchered it, right? And we became really close friends, and then his family invited my family over for a meal. And my family went over, and I didn't realize that this was going to have such an impact on me, but when you're a seventh grader, and you're in a home of people from another country, and I'll never forget, we sat on the floor. And the table was real little, and the people were real little, and the food was real little. And they tried to give us chopsticks, and I'm like, now you want me to pick up rice with that? No. They had to go and get spoons for us, you know. And they were so kind, and the food was just unique, and the conversation was wonderful, and there was something great about being together. And I'll never forget, the dad smoked cigarettes from the moment we got there till the minute we left. It was just, that's what you remember when you're a kid. Like, dang, he was smoky, you know. But man, the family was fantastic, and the fellowship was wonderful, and it was blowing my mind as a seventh grader to see that there are people different than us. And what did they do? They welcomed us in. We should have been welcoming them in, but we wanted to make them feel welcome and feel loved, and there's something from the Spirit of God in all of that. As a matter of fact, Jesus was a stranger. I mean, he came among his own, and his own did not know him. He actually said, well, I have nowhere to lay my head. He was a stranger in a strange land. And as a matter of fact, when he was young, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that Jesus himself was in some ways a refugee. When I was growing up, I always had a hard time with the story of Jesus and where he was born, and because it seemed like before he was 10 years old, he went to a lot of different places. It's like, you're from Nazareth, and that confused them. They said, well, can anything good come out of Nazareth? But he wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born, as it was prophesied, in Bethlehem. But then he also spent some time in Egypt, and I was always confused. So I want to just walk through that real quick, through the scriptures. Watch this. Luke chapter 1. Now, this parenthetical comment is my own. This happens while Mary is in Nazareth. Okay, just so you have the picture. This happened while Mary was in Nazareth. The angel of the Lord said, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. She had that promise while they were in Nazareth. And mentions the city of David. Of course, the city of David is the city of Bethlehem, the city of bread. The very place where King David was born would be the very place where Jesus was born as well. Then we go to Luke chapter 2. Here's what it says. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth. I need to pause there for just a second and tell you that they were taking a census. So every family had to go right back to their hometown. Okay, so this is why they were going. So from the town of Nazareth. So they're leaving to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Why? Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, he was engaged, who was with child. So they leave Nazareth, they go to Bethlehem, and of course we're familiar with the story where Jesus is born in Bethlehem, but then that's not where they live forever. Check this out, Matthew chapter 2. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, now listen, and flee. Flee to Egypt. This is not a vacation. Flee to Egypt. Why? Remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. I want you to picture with me Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And Herod has declared that he is going to destroy every male child 2 years and younger. And Joseph has given this warning. And so at night, they pack up all their stuff. You're deciding what is it that you grab and what is it that you leave. But you're leaving at night. And you're leaving under the fear of the threat of death. I'm very cautious when I say this, but this to me feels like he's fleeing one country into another country for the safety of his own life. So he's leaving and he's going. Now he is a stranger and his family, a stranger in a strange land. This is not uncommon to the people of God. As a matter of fact, when Abram was called, here's the call of Abram. Listen to this, Genesis chapter 12. The very first promise, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I love this part. Go to the land that I will show you. What do you know from this passage? You know that he said, you're leaving your family, you're leaving your friends, you're leaving what's familiar, you're leaving where you're at, you're leaving where you were born. I could say something to Westsiders, but I love them too much. You're leaving. This is a big deal. And then he follows it up with not an encouraging statement. I'll show you. He's like, where are we going? Yeah, well, you're on a need-to-know basis. You don't need to know yet. Like, I got all my family and all my stuff, and we're on the road. And you will be a stranger in a strange land. And multiple times, more than once, Abraham would lie about the identity of his own wife because she was beautiful and he was afraid. What? He was a foreigner in a strange land, and he was afraid. He's the father of our faith, but he didn't even have perfect faith. Why was that? Because he was a foreigner, an alien, and a stranger. Did you know? I could go even further, and I will, to say that in the Old Testament, we are never commanded to love our parents, never commanded to love our wife or husband. There's a lot of commands that are left out. But one thing that is told, that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that we would love our neighbor, and that we would love the alien among us. God saw fit in the Old Testament to not mention the details of loving parent or wife or husband, but he calls out. Why is this? He calls out the alien, the foreigner, the stranger among us. This, I contend, is the very heart of Almighty God. We were all strangers. We were all strangers to him, and didn't he call us out? Matter of fact, in the book of the law, Leviticus, Leviticus 19 says this. Here's a command. Think about this. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you. And you shall love him as yourself. Now, this is why. Look at this. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. When you have, and I'm very interested in the fact that in the Old Testament, God sees fit to mention, and why would he mention when he doesn't mention all of these other things? He goes out of his way with the people of God to mention, all right, people of God, all right, Israelites, listen, let me talk to you about how to live and how you should treat one another. And he goes out of his way to say, there's strangers among you. There's people that have come along and they're aliens to you and they're from other places and they have other languages and other tongues and they're different than you, and here's how I want you to treat them, says the Lord. I want you to treat them like kinfolk. I want you to love them, and I don't want any of them to feel like they're on the outside looking in. I want you to make sure that they have hot chocolate. I want you to make sure that they're riding with you and you're part of the train and they're getting to where you're going and they know who you know. And I want to make sure that at the end of the day, they're able to lift up the gift that you've been given. You embrace them and you love them. This is why I love this church. This is a church for all nations. Man. You know, we have people, we have people from California. I know that's another country. And we have people from Kentucky, and we could talk about that, but we won't. We have people from all over the world. There's people from Ethiopia, and there's people from Latin America, and there's people from all different parts of Africa, and there's people from China, and this is a church for all nations. I can't tell you the number of times that people come up to me and say, man, when I came here, I just felt so loved and so welcomed. I just want to say it again as your pastor. I love the fact that we're a church of all nations. And I love that we're the kind of people that when we see someone that's, you know, not from where we're from and they don't look exactly like we look, they don't look exactly like you look, you go out of your way to embrace them. Can you imagine what it would feel like to be in another country and kind of know the language, but not really? And you don't have family and you don't have many friends? When you transitioned here, how many of you found when you transitioned to Cincinnati, it was kind of tough making friends? Anybody admit to that? Yeah. Now you can email me. I'll be your friend if you're still looking for one. But when you're coming into a foreign place and you're not speaking the language and you don't know the rules of the road, we're not the people that honk our horn and get angry. We're the people that, you know, man, I just got personal right there, didn't I? We're the people that love and embrace. I was telling my son, as I was annoying him through Polar Express, I said, buddy, if you ever see anybody sitting at a lunch table all by themselves, if you ever see a person who's a little bit maybe different than you are, and maybe they're the social outcast or they're the weird one and they don't know what to say or how to say it, or maybe they're just from another place altogether and you can tell when you look at them that they're not a native person from Cincinnati, that if you want to be like Jesus, you go to that person and you sit with them. This is the kingdom of God. This is what the kingdom of God is like. We embrace the stranger. We love the stranger. We're looking for the stranger. We're finding where they're at, and we're making sure that they feel welcomed and loved and taken in. Why? Because we're all strangers. You don't deserve to know God. You don't deserve it. There's nothing that you have done, and God help you if you think there is something that you have done. There is nothing that you have done to deserve the grace of God in your life. But he decided that he would be flesh and bones. He decided that he would be fully human and fully God, and he would dwell among us, and he would face every trial, and he would face every temptation that we would face. He would know what it would be like to be a human being so that he could save us. You talk about a stranger. How'd you like to come from glory and then be trapped in skin? God invaded the world with a child. And he's a stranger in a strange land. He doesn't have a place to lay his head. And then we who have no way that we're ever going to know him, he makes a way for us to know him and not be strangers with him anymore. He said, I've called you friends. Man, there's nothing we can do to deserve that. But he has paid the price for us who were once on the outside. Now you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own peculiar people, special, called out people who once were not a people, but now you're the people of God. And if we as strangers have been called to be his people, have you ever given something to one kid? And it's big, like give a big cookie to one of your kids, and then when another one of your kids comes up, you know where this is going, right? As soon as you give the cookie to this kid, dude, they don't want to share. The other kid comes up, and I remind them, where'd you get that cookie? It's mine, they say, their favorite words. This is what it looks like to the Father for those of us who've been brought into his kingdom, and we were strangers. that we don't welcome the stranger? I gave you that cookie. I welcomed you in. And now we, by his Spirit, get to welcome them in. Matter of fact, Jesus takes it even further. Matthew 25, he tells this story. This is Jesus telling the story. Matthew 25 says this. Now, the king, who do you reckon that is? Of course, Jesus or the Father. The king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. What is the prerequisite for inheriting the kingdom? Here it is. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. I've wondered why by the Spirit of God, I've wondered why we're so attracted to people who are strangers to us. What if I told you that I saw Jesus face to face this week? Multiple times. You'd say, whoa, our pastor is crazy. No, I saw Jesus face to face multiple times this week because I office in the healing center. And all I have to do is come out of my office and go and look at our guests. I'm so thankful for the dignified manner in which we treat people who have needs. And if you have needs and you need to stop by the healing center, please do that. It's so tough to be humble enough to receive that kind of help. But I would purposefully walk around the healing center, and you know, as we clothe and as we feed and as we help people along towards self-sufficiency, we're doing that for Jesus. Each person that we see, that's Jesus that we're doing that to. When you receive a collect call from a person in prison who needs an encouraging word, you're receiving a collect call from Jesus. When you see the stranger, you see Jesus. And the disciples, even when Jesus was telling this story, they're like, whoa, when were you in prison? Did anybody know he went to prison? They literally, that's what they were saying. They were taking it very literally. I mean, Lord, you've been clothed every time we've seen you. You've never been naked to our knowledge. Have we ever given you clothing or ever given you a drink? And that's when he brings the point home. No, when you've done it for the least of these, you've done it for me. So my prayer this holiday season, I don't know about you, but I can get weary with buying gifts for people who don't need them. I personally don't need a single thing in the world. I don't need a gift at all. I don't have any need. I am a pain to shop for because I don't want anything and I don't need anything. And you got all this stuff that you're going to buy for people. I would like to find a stranger and bless them. That's what I'd like to do. So what I'm going to pray today is that God would just give us eyes to see the way he sees. And it's his heart, not our heart of compassion, but it's his very heart, and we'll pray that way. What the goal is at the end of the day, we want people who don't know him to be able to receive the same gift that we've received. We want to help them out so that they, when the train is going by, we'll see them at the end. Man, wouldn't it be great to see people who are like, I got it. Okay, that's the image I leave you with. Would you stand with me, and we'll pray before we go. There's prayer and communion available down front. I remind you of, let's close with a word of prayer if we could. Father, we thank you today. We thank you for a place where people from all walks of life are welcome and loved. God, I ask you, I know that you hear our prayers right now, so I'm asking you to send us the nations. God, if there's any lonely people, God, if there's any lonely people in Cincinnati, would you send them here? If there's people who are feeling like they don't have a friend, or Lord, if there's people from other parts of the world, other parts of the country who are without a friend and they've transitioned and they're here, God, would you send them to us? We will love them and we will care for them and we'll give them what they need. So God, I ask you to send them our way. Now, Lord, I ask you, I know we're in agreement in prayer here that you would give us this holiday season eyes to see the way that you see people. And ears, God, that would hear their stories. Hearts that would love them and care for them. God, give us your hands and feet to meet the needs of the people around us. And most of all, we're just so thankful that we were once strangers and you invited us and made a way for us to be a part of your family. May we do the same for those around us. We thank you and we give you glory and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.